Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Their lives bear witness to the power of faith, to the power that God grants those who place their faith in Him. But notice, faith gave them power not merely to be saved, but to do things, to be things, to obey God, and to walk according to His will, and according to the commandments given them in their time. Faith is an active, powerful element of their lives. It is not just a passive thing. Oh, my faith is Christianity. So seeing that we are compassed about, we are in the company of them. We who are of faith are in company with them, and we are compassed about with a great cloud of people like us. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so doth easily beset us. Sin so easily surrounds you, so easily it besets you and lays siege against you. It is out there always waiting. So let us lay it aside. Let us put it apart from us. Let us separate ourselves from it and run with patience. This word patience, in this case at least, is hupomone, which mone, this word, it means like to abide. I mean, like, it means to an abiding place, or, and it can also refer to a house. And hupo means under. So it means to bear under, or other words, to endure. We need to endure the race. It's an endurance race. You know, life is a marathon, not a sprint. And as I said before, it's not the Special Olympics either. Just showing up isn't good enough. You have to be a participant. And not just any participant is crowned, but the victor is crowned. So we must run the race to win. We must not allow sin to have victory. We must not allow the weight and troubles of this life to have victory over us. We must rather be victorious over all our enemies, be they human or ethereal, spiritual. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We look to Jesus, right? Because he is standing at the goal, because he's gone before us. He's our forerunner. And he is author and finisher of our faith. You notice that I am not the author of my faith? And if we are truly in Christ, we are not the authors of our faith. If we are truly in Christ, he is authoring our faith. He writes faith in us. He gives us the faith. You know, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Ephesians. Not merely the grace. You know, it's like to say that grace is the gift of God is sort of redundant, because grace, in Greek, the word means a gift, something that is given gratuitously. You know, a gift means something given graciously. You know, in fact, the way the Greek word is, it's like a gift. And then the word graced would be giftishness. You know, graciousness would be giftishness. And he's dealing with me giftishly. What I'm saying is the word for grace and gift are interchangeable. As far as they come from the same root. Obviously, I can't say, here, take this giftishness from me. When I hand someone a gift, right? The actual gift itself. This is a gift. You can't say this is a giftishness. That's improper English. But you see, the words are drawn from the same roots. and they are actually different forms of the same word. So it is not merely grace that is a gift, because that's redundant. It is faith. Faith is a gift of God. Faith is something that has to be given to us. People think we manufacture faith within ourselves, because that's where we see it coming from, right? Because it wells up within us. But it is indeed God who causes it to well up in us, and it comes from God by His Spirit. People without faith, a lot of times people with faith look at them and they say, you know, they should just have faith. I've talked to people who are faithless, and really, it's a lot of them would maybe even like to believe, but they just can't, because they just can't. And you can argue with me, but they'll tell you it's true. It's not in them to believe. And I pity them. And perchance God might give them repentance. Because obviously there's something more to it than that. But it's not just something I can simply create in myself based on a choice. Because not many choices in life come to us the way, you know, like a completely random thing where it's like they give you choose A or B, right? Where it's absolutely, you know, maybe you like the letter A better than the letter B. So you choose the letter A just on a whim because you favor A for no reason at all other than your own, the depths of your being. Well, that's how life works. You know, when people who end up stealing, it's a choice. Well, yeah, but there's something in them that makes it easy to choose to steal. And for others, it's very hard to choose to steal. The choice becomes you have to overcome your own nature to steal. Some people, they have to overcome their nature not to steal. You know, I had overcome my own nature to stop drinking. And I couldn't overcome it. It constantly overcame me. Why? Because it was me. It was me. I was the problem. That's why in Christianity, it talks about you've got to die. The self has to die. And again, this isn't something you can just say, okay, I'll meditate and self will die. Uh-uh. These things happen by the power of God. And a lot of times people pray and it happens and they think, well, I did it. I changed. And you did change. But you don't always see the invisible portion. And the scriptures teach us that we ought to know where our good things come from. Everything we have comes from God, and every good and perfect gift is from God.